everybody. Pastor Kevin, thanks for joining us online for today's message entitled Greater Freedom. We're going to be looking at trusting God and how do we walk in the great freedom that He has given us in Christ, and how do we do that more and more each day? We have access to it, but walking fully in it is a process. And so I was thinking about my journaling in the morning, and one of the things that frequently comes up as I pause after reading and praying a bit and just journal, what I ask the question, Father, what do you want to say to your son today? And I wait, and very regularly the first words or first thoughts that come to my mind that I believe God is speaking to me is, Kev, you can trust me. You can trust me. And I think it comes to my mind because the Lord wants to remind me that I can trust Him today, afresh, a new day. His mercies new this morning. How can I trust? Are there areas where I'm not trusting? And it's a very reflective thought for me, because I'm like, Lord, am I not trusting you somewhere? Or where could I trust you at a deeper, greater level? And so some verses that come to mind, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, classic passage, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. That's so good. And I need to say it to you today. I need to remind myself of it today. We need to remind ourselves of this every day. We can trust the Lord. You can trust the Lord. And you don't want to lean on your own thoughts and your own understanding in all your ways and everything. There isn't anything you can't bring to Him. Trust Him. And Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Look at that. I love that promise, that there's things that we don't know, that if we call on God, He will give us access to those things that we don't know. He will show us what we need to know in that situation, in that circumstances, and He'll show us great and mighty things. He's available, He's willing, but He wants us to ask Him, call on Him, and He'll answer. So I just love the promise there, right? If you've ever had the thought, like, I can't hear from God, I can't trust God, these verses, these promises, this truth goes in opposition to that lie that you are believing, that you can't hear from God. And so we can call on Him. He's going to answer us. He's going to show us great and mighty things, not just little teeny weeny things. He'll show us the small stuff too. But sometimes the small stuff is greater than you realize. And then Matthew 7:7, this pursuit of asking and seeking and knocking. Look what it says. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. I just put these three passages right up front in today's message because I really believe today God's going to elevate your trust in God and my trust in God. He's going to get us and remind us more every day to stop relying on ourselves so much for the facts and the information, but we go to Him first. We go to Him first. We do Matthew 6:33. We seek first His kingdom, the King and His kingdom, and then all these other things will be added. It's just so easy to get our own perceptions, our own perspectives, our own opinions at top position, and trust God, trust God, trust God. And even when you do ask Him, that you really trust Him, that you really believe Him, that you really walk in faith and really go after all that He has, that we move from just a place of casual trust to a place of deep trust. And I put this line on the screen for you. Deeply trust, humbly ask, and gladly obey. Deeply, deeply, deeply trust, humbly ask, and gladly obey. And I've been asking and mentioning these questions that you and I can ask in every situation. Jesus, what do you want me to know? And what do you want me to do? And if those questions are rolling around in your heart and mind all day, no matter what the situation tomorrow, what the circumstance, what that is an invitation for Jesus by His Spirit to come and speak to you in that situation. God, how do you want to untangle the mess I'm in right now, or that person's in? Do I have a part in helping? Is there something you want me to know or something you want me to do in that situation? Maybe I'm distanced from it, but I see it happening. God, do you want me to be a part of that? Do you want me to say something, do something? And so what it does is it becomes this conversational dialogue with Jesus every day, and let the Holy Spirit lead you in those moments. It's a beautiful couple questions. I want to encourage you to deeply trust, humbly ask, and then gladly obey as he gives you and guides you as your trust grows in him. So let's go to Numbers. Exodus. Yeah, Exodus. That's what we're looking at. Last week was Numbers. We're going to Exodus, primarily 14. I'm going to look a little bit at 12 and 13, but mostly 14. And the context of this is the famous crossing of the Red Sea passage, right? Remember, the children of Israel have been enslaved for 400 plus years. And Moses, God sends Moses to deliver them out of Egypt, and he's going up against Pharaoh, and God sends multiple plagues, and basically he sends Moses in to say to Pharaoh, hey, let my people go. Let my people go. Pharaoh resists. Pharaoh won't do it. Multiple plagues. And we're getting to this place where we're at like the ninth plague, and Pharaoh is still, you know, he has a few moments, but he's saying, no, I'm not going to let those people go. And so God is, of course, not surprised, but he knows how to get to Pharaoh, and he knows how to get his people free. And so I want to look at this classic story. So again, turn to Exodus 14. And before we look at that completely, I've got about 5 points for you today. I'm going to try to go through them quickly, but I want to talk about when we're trusting God and we're getting greater freedom, what God is doing is, and he was doing with the people of Israel and the children of Israel here, because he brings them out of Egypt, right? The place of slavery, the place of bondage. And but they still had, they were physically free, legally free, but they were still wrestling with things. They still have a slave mindset. They still have so much belief and thoughts and feelings and actions that are all related to slavery. It was all they'd been and seen and known and done. And I put this on the screen for you, and I think it's important to see this. You'll see the beliefs at the bottom, and then you'll see thoughts and feelings and actions. And really, our thoughts, feelings, and actions many times are led primarily by our beliefs, right? And God is interested in getting our beliefs. He doesn't want us to have an Egypt or a slavery beliefs. He wants us to have beliefs that are aligned with truth and God's truth and his promises. And he wants us to walk in that. That's how we're walking in freedom, when we have just amazing overflowing hope in our beliefs in every area of our life. And so, but that's this process of being transformed. We can be physically free, legally free, salvationally free, spiritually free, but yet we're not fully free in our thinking and our beliefs. And so there's areas of our life where we're not walking in the victory God has for us, because we're not walking in the truth. We don't really believe it. We believe more in a lie, or believe more in the old mindset and the old slavery mindset. And so Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So there's this process of transforming and confessing and repenting towards the truth, right? I'm acknowledging a lie that I've been believing. You got to see it, acknowledge it, and then repent towards, right? Repenting is turning. I've been going this way, believing this, actually by faith agreeing with a lie, and I want to by faith believe and agree with the truth that you say, God. But sometimes we're so blind, we don't see that we're believing lies. We're a mixture. We got a little bit of truth and a bunch of lies. Yeah, fascinating. So we repent towards, and so we're being transformed. And so as we pick up the Exodus story, let's look at Exodus 12, and here's my first point, is that we need to trust God for breakthrough. As we deeply trust, humbly ask, gladly obey, we're trusting God for breakthrough. And boom, here we see it, because this, the 10th plague has happened in Exodus 12 in verse 31 and 32. Then he, meaning Pharaoh, calls for Moses and Aaron by night and says, rise, go out from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone, and bless. But look what it says, and bless me also. So Pharaoh finally, leave that on the screen if you would. Pharaoh finally breaks. The children of Israel are having their breakthrough. They're having their freedom moment here, because Pharaoh is saying, they can go. You've been asking. We're now in the 10th plague, massive destruction. And he says, fine, let them go. Go serve your God. Pharaoh says, take your flocks and your herds as well. Take all of it. But then I think it's interesting that he says there in verse 32, and oh yeah, and by the way, could you bless me also? Could you have your God bless me as well? Moses, can you bless me? Unbelievable. I don't know if this is kind of like the ultimate narcissism, or if he's just like, I acknowledge and recognize this God of yours is powerful, but I just can't believe that he has the audacity to say, bless me too. Anyway, I'm not going to spend any more time on that, but I just thought that was fascinating. So we need to, when we're trusting God, we're deeply trusting, we're humbly asking, we're gladly obeying. What we're doing is we're trusting God for breakthroughs, breakthroughs in our thinking, breakthroughs in our beliefs, breakthroughs in the small and big situations in our life. Certainly for the children of Israel, this is huge. 400 years of slavery, and now Pharaoh's like, let him go. I mean, this is God's hand. It's amazing. It was quite the story. If you have a chance this week, go back and read it. Read the whole thing, all the context. There's so many amazing things to look at there and study. So that's the first thought. Trust God for breakthrough. Secondly, trust God for favor and provision. Now I'm going to go back to Exodus 11 because the Lord has given Moses some... I don't think I'm going to read the whole thing to you, but I want to just mention that Exodus 11, 1-3, God gives Moses the heads up. He's basically saying, hey, I want you to let the people know, because they're going to get set free here. I'm going to free them. We've got a little bit more to, you know, a little bit more to happen here. We've got the 10th plague to come. And then that's what's going to tip Pharaoh to let the people go. But you need to let them know now, plant the seed now that I've told you to tell them. They need to go to the Egyptians and they need to ask for wealth and provision, like give them gold and articles of clothing and all the stuff. Basically, I'm going to let you plunder Egypt because I know my people have nothing. They have nothing. They've been slaves. They don't have anything to take them and transition them into the next phase. And so look at Exodus 12, 35 to 36. It says, and the people of Israel did as Moses had instructed. They asked the Egyptians for clothing and articles of silver and gold. In verse 36, the Lord caused the Egyptians to look favorably on the Israelites, and they gave the Israelites whatever they asked for. So they stripped the Egyptians of their wealth. And I just love that this is in here. I just love that God knew what they needed. He took care of the practical needs. He's like, I'm not setting them free into nothing. I'm taking them to the promised land, but there's a journey of getting the slavery out of them. But in the practical, he's like, but I'm going to take care of their needs. So favor comes upon him. He got favor with the Israelites. But look what it says in verse 36. And it says, and they gave the Israelites whatever they asked for. And I just want to say favor and provision was God's hand, right? That he made the way. He made a path. But they did have a part. The people of Israel, the children of Israel, had to ask for it. They didn't just start laying it at their feet. They had to ask for it. And so I find that this is back to the trusting God piece, is that God gets his provision done. He gets his will done through you and I, right? And so that's why he wants to cultivate this ongoing greater hope. Yes, last week we talked about that, but also trust. That God, we trust you. We trust that you're going to speak to us. We trust that you're going to lead us and guide us. So what do you want me to know, and what do you want me to do in this situation, in this situation, in this situation? And every morning, every day, it's new stuff, new interactions, new. So it's so key. But I just think it's important for you to see that not only will he provide for the children of Israel in this situation, but his favor and his provision is on you. And as you trust him, and as you are a kingdom-minded person, a kingdom-hearted person, as you're seeking him first, he's like, I want to get my will done through you. I've uniquely made you and gifted you and put passion and purposes in you that are designed to interact and work with other kingdom-minded people. And I'm going to weave and knit you together to accomplish my purposes. But you got to trust me. You got to trust God. You got to trust God. I've got to trust God. So deeply trust, humbly ask, and gladly obey. Jesus, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? Third thought, trusting God, trust God, his path is multi-purposed. Look at his path is multi-purposed. I think this is the beauty of God, right? Because he can do so many things. But he's not just doing one thing from our perspective. He's in this passage, we're going to see he was doing multiple things at the same time. And let's look at it. Exodus 13, 17-18. Then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God did look what it says, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So, verse 18, so God led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, when the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. So, this is a lot of people. I mean, most scholars think several million people, if you can imagine, with... They've just plundered Egypt. They've got the wealth of Egypt in their hands, and they're now exiting Egypt and they're moving. But I love that it says God did not lead them by the shortest path or by the nearest path, by the normal logical way. Part of it was he wasn't going to lead them because the short path was through the land of the Philistines, and that was the closest path. But God says, no, I know that if they see the Philistines, if they go this way, they're going to want to go back to Egypt. And so God leads them around a different direction. So I just think it's important to recognize here, God's path is multi-purposed. I think, first of all, that God's path is meant for your good. It was meant for the children of Israel's good and our good. He didn't want them. He knew they'd be lured back, because that's all they knew. Their beliefs and mindset was all slave, no, not free. They haven't experienced a freedom lifestyle, freedom in life at all. They've always been enslaved for generations and generations and generations. And so, but the multi-purpose is this: God purposely took them the roundabout way because it was for their best. It was for not only their best, but it was also for God's best. It was for his glory. As a matter of fact, it says that in Exodus 14, 1-4. Let's look at that. The Lord gave these instructions to Moses. Order the Israelites to turn back and camp by Pi Hahiroth between Migdal and the sea, and camp there along the shore across from Baal Zephon. Then Pharaoh will think, verse 3, that the Israelites are confused. See, but the path I'm taking you, it's going to confuse Pharaoh. It's going to make Pharaoh think that you all are confused. But actually, I'm totally in control. I know what's going on. God says, they're trapped in the wilderness. That's what's happening. Verse 4, and once again, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will chase after you. I have planned this. Look at that. I have planned this in order to what? Display my glory through Pharaoh and his whole army. After this, the Egyptians will know that I'm the Lord. So the Israelites camped there as they were told. So we just see here, God's path is multi-purposed. God's taking care of the Israelites and doing what's good for them, but he's also bringing glory to himself. And it says here, if you'd show that again at verse 4, it says, part of what I'm doing here is the Egyptians are going to know that I'm the Lord. So he's reaching people. He's delivering the Israelites. He's confusing the enemy. he's displaying his glory. And all of this is helping the Egyptians, the victimizers. He's helping them see that God is who he says he is, that he is the real God, the true God, not the false gods they worship on a regular basis. And so all of that was done. Multi-layered purposes of God was done through them taking a path that wasn't the logical, obvious, normal path. And I just think that's important for us to hear, because sometimes it's just so easy to get impatient. It's so easy to go, God, I can see the way through. I can see the way, and I can't, why can't I get through, God? Why can't I get there? Why are you taking me in this circuitous route, this roundabout way? It just doesn't feel efficient. It doesn't feel right. And God's like, trust me. Will you trust me? Will you trust me? Will you ask me what you need to know and what you need to do? And maybe what you need to do is wait. Maybe what you need to do is trust that this path that seems meandering or seems totally inefficient. God isn't always about human efficiency. He is about you having the best for you, but yes, and what's good for you, but also what's good for his glory. What brings him the most honor, beauty, glory, and helps others come to know him, and just as we see here. So it's so cool. I love that this is in the story like this. Verses 6 to 8. So he made ready, Pharaoh made ready his chariot, took his people with him. He took 600 choice chariots, all the chariots of Egypt, and captains over every one of them rather, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with boldness. Leave that on the screen if you would. So God is, in his sovereignty, is doing some amazing things in this situation. Pharaoh's heart gets hardened here, and he's like, I can't believe I let these people go. I mean, these are my workforce. These are what built Egypt. They're one that physically on their backs, I had this built by them, and I've just let them go. I can't believe I'd do that. So, and he sees that they appear to be confused. So he's like, let's go get them back. Let's go after him. And so he's got the greatest army in the known world, and he's sending that army towards the children of Israel. Can you imagine? You've just been set free, and God's taken you this route that appears inefficient and not the normal route. You just don't totally know all this, but all of a sudden you're camped, and there's a courage, there's a freedom, there's like the excitement of this deliverance. And it says in verse 8, the children of Israel went out with boldness because they were trusting God. They saw him do some amazing things in a very short period of time, and the fact that Pharaoh let him go is a miracle and a huge deliverance, and they're humbly asking, they're deeply trusting, they're gladly obeying. And so they, as the next point is, when we trust God, we can boldly step out for God. We can boldly step out for Jesus. And it's beautiful. Like in that moment, they're like, yeah. We're going to see here, though, that a little shift comes. But before I get to that shift, when we're boldly stepping out for Jesus, why can we do that? How can we do that? Well, if we fast forward now to the New Testament with you and I, Ephesians 2, 8 to 10 says this: God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it, for we are God's masterpieces, his poems, his poeme in the Greek. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he's planned for us long ago. So because of what Christ has accomplished, y'all, which this whole picture here of the children of Israel being delivered from Egypt, and then the Passover that happens all in this chunk here, 12 and 12, 13 and 14, where before that final plague happens, right? Moses gets the directions. Hey, tell the people, put the blood on the doorposts, on the frame, the tops and the sides, and have them be inside during this evening and stay inside. Don't go outside. Stay under there. And put the lamb, the blood of a lamb, on the doorposts of their homes, and I'll deliver them from any death. And death comes over the land of Egypt, and the firstborn are destroyed. Anybody who wasn't in a home where the blood of the lamb, it's a very destructive moment that God had to do to get the attention of the Egyptians. But God's people who followed that instruction, that promise, who were inside their homes with the blood on the doorpost, that picture of Christ on the cross, the Lamb of God, the blood of the Lamb covering us, we now are. That was a type and shadow of that, pointing to Jesus at the Passover, the original Passover. And now we experience that personally because we are in Christ. We are resting in him. And because of his blood covering our sin, we can walk boldly and step out for him every day. It's incredible. We can deeply trust him. We can humbly ask him. We can gladly obey him. And then back to the children of Israel, they're, you know, of course, miraculously delivered, and they're being led by the cloud by day and the fire by night. And yet, even in this moment, there's courage, they're excited, and they're right by, they're camped by the Red Sea, apparently no place to go. And then all of a sudden, from over the hill, well, or through the desert, they see the smoke of the chariot. They see the sand kicking up and the dust kicking up, and they see, oh my goodness, here comes Pharaoh. And look, let's look and see what happens. Because right in the middle of our victories, you know, and right after a great victory, just remember that there is an enemy that wants to distract you. See, the devil, there is an enemy, the devil. And in this story, it's like Pharaoh is personified as the devil. He's the bad guy. And he's now chasing him down. He let him go, but now he's regretting it, and he's going back after him to try to get him back. And that's exactly what the enemy would like you to think he can do, that he could get you back. He can't put you back legally, spiritually in slavery, but he can distract you. He can discourage you. He can get you sidetracked. He can get you on pause. He can get you stuck. He can get you knotted up and entangled in a way that you're not walking in the freedom that God has for you, because you're so looking inward. You're not trusting God. Right back to the original thought. You're not trusting him. He wants you to walk in greater freedom, but you've got to trust him. You've got to trust him even when the enemy seems to be pursuing you, even when the dust of the sands is rolling around in the sky and you're like, I think the enemy's after me. Listen, all he has on you and I is getting us to believe lies. He also has fear that he wants to put in you. He wants to tempt you to think thoughts of fearful thoughts and destructive thoughts and distractive thoughts. And so, and that's why we need to be transformed by our thinking. We need to go from these thoughts and feelings that are full of, you know, or they're mixed with a little bit of lie or a lot of lie, and acknowledge them and see them and go, wait a minute, I'm not in Egypt anymore. I'm free. I'm in Christ. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus and his sacrifice for me. So I can walk and repent towards the truth of that and start moving in actuality towards that in a greater measure, experiencing the greater freedom. And so I like how Charles Spurgeon said it, because when the, you know, sometimes our circumstances, we are so intense that we can't, it feels like we can't see the benefit of the freedom, or we can't see the trust that we could have in God. Look what he says. He says, God is too good to be unkind. I like that. And he is too wise to be mistaken. And when we cannot trace his hand, we must trust his heart. So next, next point is this: trust God, release your fears. Trust God, release your fears. And to release your fears, who are you releasing them to? Well, I believe you're ultimately releasing them to God. But I also believe to get free, you need to communicate those with another believer who trusts God. So you're trusting God, ultimately you're releasing him, and so you're acknowledging I have him. And look at verse 10 and what it says. Let's look at it in the story, Exodus 14:10. When Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marched after them. So they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. See, I love that it says both those things. They were very afraid. So they acknowledge they're fearful. And what did they do with it? It doesn't say they curled up in a ball. It doesn't say that they cried out to the Lord. It doesn't say that they just started looking at, woe is me. They weren't going there at all. In this initial moment here, when they see the children of Israel and that Pharaoh coming back after them, they're like, ah, we're afraid. They know they're used to that slave master. They know what he does. And that they've got a lot of well-worn paths of thinking and belief built up and built into them because of Pharaoh and the enslavement. And so they're afraid. But I love that immediately they cry out to the Lord. It says that. I just love it. And so what are they doing? Jesus, God, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? God, help, 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 help. And I love that they didn't try to numb it. They didn't try to kill it with other pleasures. They didn't try to ignore it. They cried out to God. They asked, they seeked, they knocked, right? And that pursuit, that persistence, crying out to the Lord is so key, because what's happening is we're acknowledging we deeply trust you. We're humbly asking and we'll gladly obey. Deep trust, humble ask, gladly obey. Help, Lord, help, help. And then verse 11 to 12, and then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die? Now, so you're going to see their initial response is crying out to the Lord, and then they drift. Unfortunately, I relate with this. It's easy to do both here. Says to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us to die in the wilderness? Is this not the word that we were told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. So they start whining. They start complaining a bit to Moses. And it makes sense, because fear now is just like, They're all knotted up. They cried out to God, but then they didn't wait on God. They just went right to You should have left us in Egypt. Did you just bring us out here to die? It looks like we're going to die. We're going to die. I mean, this is the greatest army. We know what he can do. And he's... This is what I love. And I only say this. I love that Moses doesn't go, "You winebaggers, you... you idiots." Like, he doesn't get all embittered. He doesn't complain back to them. He's like, "Seriously, I just had got you guys out of the, and now you're going to whine and complain." He doesn't do any of that. Moses just takes it. He has, as Julie King used to say, he has thick skin and a soft heart. And I love that he doesn't get mad at him for talking about their struggles. He listens. Moses is a safe place. He takes it and he receives it. And so that's so key. We need to hear that. You can admit your fears. You can admit them to God, yes, and you need to admit them to another believer and get them to pray with you. Stand in agreement together for the truth. And as you confess your fear to God and to another, and even if you get in a moment where you're whining and complaining, well, whine and complain to God and confess your fears and all that, but repent and go, "Wait, but God, this is what's true. You are my deliverer. You did deliver me. I am free, and I'm trusting you to move me towards that in my life, in every area." And then the last point is this, is that we need to trust God to see and receive greater freedom. Look at verse 13 and 14, just such a culminating verse. It says, "And Moses said to the people, 'Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace.'" I just love it. I mean, just leave that on the screen. Look at that. You're going to see the salvation of the Lord. Moses is leading well here. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Stand still. Hold tight. You will see the salvation. God will deliver us. He has delivered us. He will deliver you again. And Moses hasn't seen it yet, right? I mean, I think he's seen it with his eyes of faith, but he sees the armies coming too. But you got to see it, and you got to have a posture to receive it. And he's reminding the children of Israel, hey, remember what God's already done just in the last few days? Trust him, trust him, trust him, trust him, trust him. Just like God has to remind me every day, you can trust me, Kevin. You can trust me, Kevin. You can trust him. You can trust him. And so it happens, right? And I haven't put the rest of the story in here, but God, what appears to be no way out, God parts the Red Sea. They go through on dry ground. As the Egyptians come, the waters are still parted. The children of Israel all the way across, and they go, the Egyptian army goes into the water, and as soon as they're all in there, the water shuts and kills the enemy. Wipes them out completely, and God delivers them. Exactly what Moses said he would do. And so you and I, we can deeply trust God. We can humbly ask him. We can gladly obey him. So to review these points, when we're trusting God for breakthrough. We're trusting God for favor and provision. We're trusting and seeing that his path is multi-purposed. It is for your good, but sometimes that good isn't happening in the timing that you like, and that's the challenge. But he's also doing it for God's glory. He's doing it for his glory. And you and I can release our fears. We can trust God. But we need to see and receive and posture ourselves for greater freedom. And God wants us to, again, repent towards the truth. Acknowledge your current circumstances, current situations. Moses didn't say, don't act like Pharaoh's not closing in on us. He is, but you can still trust God. Put your focus there. Magnify the Lord right now. Magnify God and who he is and his truth, and repent towards that truth, and you can trust him. Watch and see for the breakthrough. Let me pray for you. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for what you're doing in us and through us. Thank you that you provide breakthrough every day. And God, we can trust you more and more. God, we will ask, we will seek, we will knock. And we know, Lord, as we trust in you and don't lean on our own understanding, we acknowledge you in every area of our life. God, you will direct us. You will guide us in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Amen. Love you. Have a great week. See you soon.